Hello, everyone. Good to see you all, and thanks for joining us for our April 2022 World Peace Diet Facilitator Circle. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and I'm delighted to see you all joining us here. Thank you so much, Lisa, for helping out with our co-hosting. Really appreciate your assistance with that. It's fantastic. And that short piece you just heard me playing from the Sky High album is called Spring Dragon. So in the Chinese tradition, in the spring, the dragon, which represents the life force, very, very positive energy, positive symbol, flies up to the sky and makes the rain and brings life back to earth again. So it's a very positive, joyful, empowering kind of energy. It's the great yang energy. And when I was in Korea as a Zen Buddhist monk, on the main buildings of the temples in Korea, which I think is probably similar in China, there's a main beam that holds up the roof. And on one end of the beam, there's the head of a dragon, which represents the sky and the yang energy of creativity. And on the other end, there's the head of a turtle. And the turtle represents the yin energy of the earth and receptivity. And the idea is that we need to cultivate both of these. The more we cultivate one authentically, the more the other one gets cultivated actually too. So the more we can tune in receptively to our intuition, the more effective our expression will be in the world, the more powerful we'll be able to express ourselves and more authentically. And the same thing, if the more we cultivate that, the more we'll be able to connect with our true nature and connect with our inner wisdom and connect with the earth. So they are seen as two mutually supporting energies when we're on a spiritual path or a path of questioning the official narratives, I like to say, because, man, it's getting pretty heavy now. So we've got to question everything. And a lot of the official narratives, of course, we have internalized. So that very often means questioning the official narrative in our own mind, which can be the hardest thing to do. Obviously, that's why meditation, I think, is so important, to take time to connect with the silence and to be still and see what emerges as we do that. So welcome, everyone. We're delighted to be able to share this way. This is our once a month opportunity to connect not only with the vegan message in the World Peace Diet, but to also connect with each other, with the community, to respond to any questions or comments or concerns you may be having about anything having to do really with our planetary situation, with vegan living, with health and freedom and sustainability and spirituality and all those things. So it's a really exciting to be able to have this opportunity to connect this way through the miles. And there's quite a few people who will listen later to the recording as well. So we do have a special guest today who's going to join us for a little while after the meditation. Her name is Chantal Calais from Basel, Switzerland, which is Madeline's hometown. Kind of interesting connection, and from Canada, Montreal, she's been in. Madeline doesn't say Montreal. Madeline always says Montreal, which I guess is more accurate. But anyway, so I would like to, first of all, before we jump into that, though, go ahead and have our meditation time. And I think we can go ahead and do that. This is a great opportunity. So feel free, however you'd like to do it during the meditation. If you'd like to turn off your cameras, you can, or leave them on either way. I'm sitting at the piano again. We're back home. It's great to be back. And, I noticed that Davi from England. It's 2 o'clock in the morning or something there. She's just joining us. Welcome. Welcome, Davi. Great to see you here with us. So I can do a little music along with the meditation, and hopefully it's all set up properly. All right, so we'll just go ahead. This won't be a long one like we do on the first Monday, but we'll just take some time to connect through the meditation time. Go ahead now and join together in our hearts. Connecting with the essence of our true nature. With the essence and true nature of everyone who is on this call. The whole web of life. We give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth. We give thanks for all the teachings of wisdom. Part of humanity's heritage, the great wisdom traditions of the world. We give thanks for all of the teachers in our life, those who are living by example, the truth, the infinite interconnectedness of all living beings, compassion, loving kindness, respect, so we open now our hearts to the inner wisdom that is shining always at the core of our being, guiding us to fulfill this unique human life in the highest way possible for the benefit of all living beings, opening the keys to our inner creativity, our understanding, our awareness, that we may contribute to the solutions of all of the problems that we see facing us today in the world, that we may be the hands and the hearts, the lips and words of healing, of caring, of kindness, of awakening. So we give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have every day. And for all of our loved ones, and for everyone in the movements to bring awakening and healing and joy and freedom to our world, to bring peace and harmony to our relations, to bring truth and connectedness to the way we interact with each other and with animals and with the earth. And we give thanks especially now for this beautiful earth, this magnificent, incomprehensibly vast web of intelligence, of beauty, of enchantment. And we give thanks now to the celebration of life here in the form of all of the animals on this earth. And we send them our love and appreciation. All the animals who are living their lives in nature, in the waters, in the air, on the land. May their habitats be restored. May they be free to live their lives as a reflection of their true nature. And now we send our love and awareness also to all of the animals caught up in the nets of human civilization, for food or for entertainment, for research, for pets, all these animals that are now at our mercy directly. May their lives and their beings know peace and fulfillment in the great larger picture that spans the greater reality that we are part of. May all these beings be free, be healed, be respected and loved. And so now we just see the whole creation on this earth. There's a giant circle of life. And we human beings, as part of that, we see humanity awakening. We see the lights going on in people's minds and hearts as they realize their unity with all creation, as they learn to savor the beauty all around us, and all the animals and nature and other human beings. We see humanity casting off the dark mask of delusion that has been covering our true face. We see humanity throwing off the heavy, dark cloak of fear and alienation. We see the heart of humanity vibrating with love and light, with life and vitality. Pulsating with kindness and caring, with mercy and tenderness and gentleness for all expressions of life, coming home to our true nature. And so abiding now in our true home, peace with the past and with the future, at peace with the present in this moment. This is the only holy moment. From our heart we radiate loving kindness in all directions. May all beings be happy and at peace. May all beings have all the causes of happiness. We see every being, human beings and all living beings, at peace, filled with the awareness of their true nature. Abiding in our true home of love. Now from our heart, with every exhalation, we radiate compassion. In every direction, like an ever-expanding sphere of light, radiating compassion. May all beings be free from suffering and all the causes of suffering. Abiding in our true home of compassion. Now from our heart we radiate the light of joy in every direction, filling the whole world with the light of infinite and eternal joy, the joy of being, the joy that needs no reasons, joy of our true nature that is always a bubbling spring at the core of our being. Savoring the joy that is our true nature, we radiate this joy. May all beings abide in their true home of joy. And finally, from our heart of peace, we radiate harmony and peace in every direction, and see our beautiful earth, a shining jewel, bright and beautiful and at peace. Beyond all the outer appearances, there is peace always. In truth, there is one life. And so as we close our meditation now, we give thanks again for each other, We give thanks knowing that in the days to come, we will continue to get ever more deeply connected to our inner wisdom, inner joy, and inner love, and contribute ever more effectively to the awakening of humankind, that we may live on this earth as we are intended to, through the power and presence of the infinite indwelling spirit of truth and love. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on our meditation. And please just let me know if you have any questions about anything. You can just write a message in the chat. That works very well. Or you can also raise your hand and press *6 in order to do that. All right. So here we are, and it's great to be with you. We just completed our meditation if you came in a little bit late. So I'd like to go ahead now and move along here. And as I said earlier, go ahead and introduce our special guest, Chantal Chalet. So Chantal is, as I said earlier, a native of Switzerland from Basel. She's been a vegetarian since she was 16 years old. So wow, she was right on top of things there in Switzerland. That's kind of unusual. And a vegan for 12 years, since 2010. Originally from Basel, then moved to Montreal in Canada at the age of 29. And she started out, interestingly enough, in the pharmaceutical industry. I know all about it because in Basel there's some huge pharmaceutical companies there, and Roche is one of them. So she worked for Roche. I remember, we used to go in the summers to the Rhine River that goes through Basel, and they have this great tradition where you can get one of these. It's like a bag that's inflatable, and you put your clothes in it, and then you run up the Rhine a ways, and then put your bathing suit on, and then you jump in the water with your clothes inside the bag. Everybody does it. It's so cool. And the bag kind of floats, and you hang onto the bag, and then you just float down the river. Everybody's floating down the river on a hot summer afternoon, and kind of, and hanging out on the shore and enjoying the place. And then you get out, and then you run back up, and you can do it a few times, and then put your clothes back on when you're done. So it's really a cool thing. I just love that. But anyway, that's Basel. So, then just to complete the introduction here of Chantal, it's a very interesting story. They went to Montreal. Her career evolved into becoming a yoga instructor, body worker, and a homeopath also, which is very interesting. Madeline also studied homeopathy a lot, and as well as massage and yoga, and is a yoga teacher. So it's very interesting. So now she and her husband have bought 17 acres of land in North Florida outside of Tallahassee in 2017, which was a vacation home for them, and to prepare for their retirement, and they kept adding on land over the years until now they're up to about 60 acres of land, And then the 2 years ago, with this whole COVID thing, the planetary lockdowns and everything, she decided to apply for a visa to live in the U.S., an E2 visa, which is for investors. And so she kind of moved down to Florida. Her husband also came down initially to work. He's an air traffic controller at the Montreal International Airport. But then in September 2021, just not that long ago, he was put on unpaid leave because he didn't take the jab. And then in October, he came down to Florida too. So they're both in Florida. And then in February, just a couple of months ago, he was laid off because he refused to take the vaccine. So he lost his job. And then that's where they, so they're there. So they're in Florida now. And as she was saying, we talked about this, you know, she feels that they have more land than they need. And it would be great if there would be more people who would like to join with them and live a life close to nature, and closer to sanity, a vegan way of living. So they would love some more like-minded people or couples to join us on the land. Soil is excellent. There's gardens there that they've put in. They've also planted over 200 fruit and nut trees and bushes. So there's a lot of potential for market gardens and many other things, and it's just too much for only two people. So she's kind of just in the initial stages of being open to having more people move onto the land there and create a situation. So she thinks that the current situation is a great catalyst for positive change. However, we must take action. So she thinks that it would be great to talk about this. I'm going to go ahead and move ahead. I have a few photographs, too. But she would love to just, you know, share more about this. And I thought it would be great. I'm really interested in hearing more about it too. Let me, go ahead and introduce, Chantal. Go ahead, Chantal. You can unmute if you haven't already. I guess maybe you already have. And, we'll go ahead and, there we go. So, is your connection working? Can you say something? Say hello to everybody.
Yeah. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it's later. It's darker in Florida than it is here.
We have a little light here. So, but I'm outside. So I hope you can see me.
Yes.
But
perfect.
It's dark. Well, thank you so much, Will, for having me on here and giving me this great opportunity to speak to this amazing, community. I'm really very, very grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll go ahead and show a couple of the photos you sent me from earlier today, and I thought it would be good to just let people see some, you know, kind of what the. So I'll go ahead and share my screen. Let me just get this up here, and we can do that. So let's see. Here we go. Chantal photos. Let me share the screen, and then. I'll share those photos because I think it's kind of neat to see.
The question already came up where we are at, so that is one of the,
Right. So I think you can hopefully see when I get this going here. Let's see here. Okay, wait. Share. Sorry, I'm making a mistake. Let me try one more thing here. All right. Okay. Now, go back here, go there, and then here it is. Okay, so this is the a map showing where the land is located, just kind of north east of Tallahassee. And this is the van that they lived in when they were looking for land, I guess, when they first moved onto the land in Florida. This is the blank canvas when they first moved there onto the land. And now this is kind of how it looks now. I mean, that's another part of it maybe, but you can see it looks beautiful. Lots of Spanish moss and very lush. Here we got some corn growing and some vegetables, it looks like, various things growing. And so these are some photos that show them. So it looks like there's some beautiful water there too. And this is a garden that they've put in to grow food, and it looks like some fencing for the deer. And this is the vision of building this. I guess you were saying there's a tiny house that you're finishing up now, and then your vision is to do an aircrete kind of a house, something like that. So anyway, so that's those are cool, those aircrete houses. I think that's really neat. So let me go ahead and see what I can do here to go back. So we got a chance to see some of those. So did that work okay, Chantal? Can you say it all right?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, so please go ahead, and if you don't mind, I'd like to just ask you if you can say a little bit about your, I know it's kind of a new, it's all kind of unfolding everything, but if you can just say a few words for everybody, in your own words, what you see as the are the possibilities, because I personally was very much transformed in my own life by vegan community. You know, that's really what got me to go vegan. And if you want to share anything about you and your husband, what's your husband's name maybe, and what you guys are thinking of perhaps doing? Yeah.
Yes, so my husband's name is Martin, and you know, to be honest, really, although, you know, I've been really touched by the World Peace Diet when I read the book back in, I think, 2014 or 15. It was one of those rare books, I just have to say it, that, you know, a lot of the books you're reading, you take out, like, a piece, and that, you know, speaks to you, and then other things don't really resonate with you. And this is one of the books, the rare books, where, you know, just everything. I mean, I've been vegan for a while when I started out and read the book, but it was more for health reasons and to understand things, and everything just made sense. It made a deeper sense, and as we go and what we live today, it still makes sense. It still makes sense. It is. It was such a beautiful gift. I just wanted to say that before we go ahead. And I always had a lot of respect, like, for you and for people who were a lot into, you know, taking initiative and trying to bring people together and doing community work. And for myself, I didn't really see that, like, that I would could do that or would want to do that. I mostly thought I would do my share sort of with, you know, having changed my career and do it on a smaller scale. And that was also the idea with when we bought the land here. It was more like, okay, we'll retire here and sort of close the gates and be in peace. And
I like that. Close the gates.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is actually Martin's phrase. He always said, you know, I just want to close the gate, not open it anymore.
Right.
But you know, a lot of things, you know, when you said about, you know, the stillness and the meditation, I had for the first time in my life, I had actually 7 months here that I was living alone, like on my own, and really, you know, just just land and nature around, and I use this time a lot to really find a lot of stillness and groundedness, and I meditated a lot, and sort of what became clear to me is that we're not gonna get out of that situation by being passive. I think the problem with the system today is that we got so used to authority and to you know, do what we are told, and even if we are on the other side of, you know, the narrative, we still wait for somebody to do the job for us. We still wait, like, for a president or for, I don't know, an extraterrestrial person or somebody to come along and help us out here. And I realized in my meditation, and that's just me personally, I realized that actually the task is to take this responsibility on ourselves and to realize that we are capable of doing that and stepping out. So I know a lot of people, even in my environment, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're so lucky you're there on your land in Florida. And I said, yeah, well, you know, you can do it also. And then it's always like, oh, well, you know, no, I cannot because I have this and that. And it is choices that we have to do. For my husband, it was very difficult. For me, it was less difficult to make that choice. For a few reasons, for my husband, it was quite difficult. For him, it was a lot of insecurity. But I do think this is exactly what we do have to do. And I was thinking, okay, we are already here and sort of established. Maybe if we can help somebody who's like, you know, on the fence, okay, I want to do it, but it's daunting, you know, doing something like that, living off the land, because I'm convinced we have to produce our own food. We have to rely on ourselves now for a lot of things, for healthcare, for, you know, education to a certain point, for everything, actually. And I just, thought, you know what, we have a lot here. It's very fertile land. It's in the north of Florida, so we have good soil, we have good water, and that, yeah, as you said, we have more than we actually need. So we don't have anything specific in mind. We're really just at that point where we said, okay, you know what, we both feel it now. And I mean, before we just wanted to be alone, but we both feel it now. We do have to build community. This is just the next step in what's coming along. And so that's where we put it. I mean, I mean, you guys probably all are in the same situation. So it's nice to be actually in a, in a group where I'm not a minority, because usually I'm a minority of a minority, because, hey, Madeleine.
Chantal.
You know, to be vegan, and then even in permaculture, because that's what we try to do a little bit as vegans, it's always, you know, we're told, oh, you cannot really do permaculture, but we actually figured out you can. It's another thing, you know, with authority. We came out here and we wanted to follow like Bill Mollison and Jeff Lott and then do everything like that. And we found out that actually, you know, just with your intuition and with tuning in to nature, suddenly a wisdom falls on you or things start to happen. You do not need authorities for everything. I mean, it's great information and we were thankful for a lot of things that we, you know, got, but many things did not apply to our situation. And we found out, for instance, we were getting into those nitrogen fixers and we had to have those black locusts and then they died. And then once we realized, because we couldn't take care of the whole land, that actually we have a lot of native nitrogen fixers growing here once, you know, people want to, because it was pasture before, so it was mowed down all the time and eaten down. But once all of that grew, we had elderberry and beautyberry and nitrogen fixers and blackberries. And it was like already half of food forest just popping up like this. So we're told many things, even if in the alternative community, right? And then we always think, okay, we have to adhere to that, and we don't trust ourselves. I mean, we were city slickers coming out here, having only watched YouTube videos and things like that. But it is actually the case that we have to take some of our sovereignty back. And I do strongly feel after these last several months that this is sort of something that we have to do collectively. And I know many people talk to me and many of my friends say, oh, I want to do it, but I don't know how and I don't know. So yeah, we are here. And as I said, we don't have a fixed concept of how this should be working. We just have land and we actually even have work because I had to, I was already married, so I couldn't marry an American. I had to apply. for a need to visa. And so I have to have a business, and we actually started like selling trees and selling like trees that were grow here naturally, and that was pretty good. I started off with that, so I even would have like a job for somebody who would like to come out and work. So this is where we're at, but nothing like, you know, okay, here is the community and here are the rules and that's how it's going to work. Nothing is really established at that point.
Right.
It's just a lot of, yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. It's a beautiful story and sounds like beautiful land too. And 60 acres is a good amount. You know, it's a nice, a lot of nature there. And so thank you for sharing your vision with us and the possibilities, I guess. Like you say, through your meditation practice, you've been able to connect with this deeper truth that we're called now to create community. And I think you're really right about becoming more self-sufficient and growing our own food and being more decentralized for energy, education, information, and community and food and all these things, and not depend on these large-scale centralized structures that are in the midst of collapsing. So I noticed there's a few comments in the chat. The location of the land we said earlier is up, it's outside of Tallahassee, northeast of Tallahassee, almost not too far from the border of Georgia, it looks like.
Yeah, actually pretty close, because that's what we, when we were looking for land, actually, with Matt, it took us a long time. We were first looking in Canada, and with the climate and everything, it didn't work out. And then we started taking like the big paper maps, and we were, you know, circling and things like, okay, not close to a nuclear plant, but that was circled out. And then it had to be a certain height, and so we were not left with a lot, and we had to stay on that east coast, because what we did is, like, whenever we took off, we had jobs. Like, what we used to do is we worked 7-on-7. We both could do that because they were on the staff, and I could do it on my end, too. And then 4 times a year, we took 3 weeks off, and we came here, and we planted, and we worked. But it needed to be on that east coast, so, you know, it wouldn't take us too long to get there. So we actually were looking in Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia. And we couldn't actually, we liked Virginia, but we couldn't find land there. And North Carolina, we moved too quickly. And in Georgia, we loved, and we found many pieces of land we would have really liked, but there is so much corn and so much cotton, and then those orchards, like all the pieces of land we looked at were adjacent to some of those heavily sprayed
right.
commercial farms that we said, well, you know, we have all the runoff, we cannot do. And it was by accident, actually, that we drove to here, and we said, okay, we're almost at the end of our vacation, so we circled back, and we made that loop, and that's how we found here, because actually it's rolling hills, so it's not conducive to like you know, this like corn or sort of farming with tractors, and so it's cattle here and horses, so there is no spraying going on, and that's actually a major for
right
us, that was a real point.
Yeah, so you have good quality air and soil. Yeah, head soil hasn't been, I know, so many places in the United States, they've used arsenic at some point, and raising, you know, growing crops and for chickens and all that kind of stuff, especially in the Southeast and Texas. Well, yeah, beautiful. Does anyone, I think maybe I'll open it up. First of all, just does anyone have any questions or comments? Just press, for Chantal, press *6. If you do want to know anything or have any questions, this is kind of a unique, meeting really to talk about this, because this is real. I mean, this is really happening. This is something that could plant seeds possibly to, you know, change people's lives if anybody is interested or wants to find out more. There's a situation now, I think anyway, where There's something called exit and build, which refers to the idea I'm leaving where I am now because I don't think it's really the right place to be. It's too urban or whatever. And I'm going to build a new life somewhere else that's in alignment. And of course, finding other vegans who want to do that has always been difficult, especially, you know, with land and all these different things. So a few of those boxes are checked if someone is interested to learn more. We've been looking ourselves somewhat, but we're so plugged in where we are. We've planted ourselves, you know, 70 fruit trees and nut trees here, and that we really love it here. But still, it's really a beautiful vision, I think, is a possibility, you know, that we could have vegan communities that are based on veganic permaculture. And that's a reality. Yeah.
Yeah, because I said we haven't done a lot of head work into, you know, how it should look and what it should do, but we actually went a little bit ahead and on the administrative side, because, you know, we were thinking also, it could be a nice opportunity for people who are working from home, right? If they want to move out to the country and, you know, work from, I don't know, a temporary residence and, you know, grow their own food here, that would be another possibility. And that's why we were actually lucky. It's we are in the Monticello is the capital in a county or
the county seat. The county seat, yeah.
Yeah, the county seat. So this is where all, you know, the building department is and so on. And everybody, like, there are not many people, so they're not very busy, and everybody is super cool, and, you know, everything goes through really smoothly. And then we actually learned that we could zone our land as, because some things are harder, like you cannot do some alternative buildings without it's really complicated. So, but we found out, and that's what we're working on with the city now, is that we could be zoned as a campground. So, not that we want to become a campground, but if we're zoned as a campground, then people could come with their RVs and they could have like a plot of land around it. And so we can work around things like that. But
right. Really interesting that they're open to that. You know, we lived in an RV for 17 years, and we still have our RV just sitting here.
Yeah,
it's great. But that's a neat idea. Looks like Deborah Kaplan. Deborah, you have a question you'd like to ask or comment?
Yeah, I was just curious about the water that was on the property. What was that we saw?
What water?
The water. Yeah. You have a lake. You have a pond as well,
we have a
well.
We have two big ponds, and then we have several little ponds. And they were actually the person who there is a farmer. He had that whole land, and then he sold off some pieces. Actually, there is still more for sale next to it, and we sort of have the first because we always bought from him a little bit more. So if this grows, we actually could buy the rest also. And he designed some things with the water, you know, one pond flows into the other. It's pretty neat, and the water is pretty clean. As I said, we don't have a lot of runoff from farms, and there is cattle, and there are horses, but it's not like really intense. So, you know, there is a lot of land for the amount of animals there. And then we do have a well. And we are actually, in the next few weeks, we're drilling a second well, which will be a solar well. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Have you been there through the summer yet?
Yes. It's, you know what, it's a pretty good climate. I mean, it does get hot, and that's why in my plans, we're going to have a swimming pond anytime soon. But it is a really interesting climate because we get enough chill hours to have a lot of fruit we couldn't have if we would be further south. So, you know, we can like have apples and pears and plums.
Really?
And apricots.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because we do get the chill hours in. And then still we can create some microclimates, so where we actually don't get frost. it's just like, it's very interesting. We have a few greenhouses where we can get, have our more, like, citrus is still doing fine here, but some more fragile, plants, we have it in a greenhouse, and, So we can really grow a lot, even artichokes, because they do need like chill hours. So it's a very interesting climate, actually.
Yeah, that's, it sounds, we were just saying, it sounds similar to where we live here in Northern California. We can grow all those fruits. We can grow citrus as well as apples and pears and peaches and plums and nectarines. But you get more rain, that which is probably in some ways a good thing.
It's good. It's more humidity, so that it's a way you have to plant your vegetables. I found out to give them more air. You have to weed out a little bit more and give them more air, because otherwise it's going to get moldy. Yeah, it's more humid than where you are at.
Any other questions for Chantal? It's beautiful. Possibilities and the vision that she is sharing here. It's kind of we could talk a long time about all the ins and outs of it, but I think it's really interesting to, you know, given what's going on right now in the world, I think, especially. It looks like Christine, yeah, go ahead and you can unmute yourself if you have a question or comment.
Hi, yeah, it was more just a sharing for Chantal. If you don't already know about this place close to where I live, I'm in London, Ontario. And just outside, I think Will and Madeline have been there to the Living Center.
Yes,
and
yes.
They're also a vegan permaculture center. And so I thought, you know, you might be interested in checking out. I added it in the chat, their website link, that you might be interested in checking out what they're up to.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. The Living Center is amazing. I mean, we love that place. We went there twice at least, and I gave some lectures there, but they really are the ones, I have to say, who inspired us the most to get it, to create a food forest. I mean, they have an amazing food forest there, and they really taught us, you know, how you do companion planting and the whole concept of a food forest up there in London, Ontario. They're a fantastic resource. I highly recommend, if you ever have a chance to learn or do anything with the Living Center. They do a lot of classes in veganic permaculture and all kinds of stuff with nature, and they're vegans and really beautiful people. So yeah, thank you for letting us know about that. Yeah, that's great. Looks like Andy, you wanted to ask something. Your hand is raised.
Hi. Yeah, sorry, I just met some other freedom people here as to the place I just arrived. Yeah, I wanted to ask if we want to contact you, because I have a feeling for sure I will forget things, but if we wanted to contact you, oh, hi, Madeline, I see you there, too. contact, is there a website or contact info to ask more questions later, or an email or something, because it does sound pretty exciting.
Right. Well, do you want to provide?
Yeah,
us?
I think probably the easiest thing is if you're comfortable giving your email address to this group, I could just put it up. We can put it up here in the chat right now. And then I could send it, I could put it up on the, send it out when I send out tomorrow to our list. I could put it there. Or if you want to know it, just ask me. I can send it to you, you know. But you're right. I can put it up, right now in the chat. That might be the best way. You can just send Chantal an email if you want to, you know, connect with her. And
that would be great, because it sounds exciting, and I'd like to think of more questions instead of rattling off things that don't make sense right now, because it sounds wonderful.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
Okay, and I'm just putting it in. All right. So anyone else have...
No, I'd like to just say something.
Yeah, Anne, go ahead.
Yeah. Chantal, it's so wonderful to know you're here. I moved to Florida just about 2 months ago from Washington, drove across the country, and I'm in Spring Hill now, which is about an hour north of Tampa.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an area too.
Yeah, and I bought a house in an HOA, which is, it's lovely, yet it's not, you know, I'm not feeling in sync. I mean, I value this community so much. I mean, people who are vegan and also awake to what's going on. And so I would definitely like to connect more with you. It's so beautiful to see what you're doing. I sense I'm not in my forever situation here where I am, and I'd love to be part of, you know, with other vegans and on land, yet the steps to get there would be a lot to work out. But I'm glad to be there, and I definitely want your contact information so I can find out more.
Yes, and it's not too far. You know, if you want to come up, then we just, you know, hang out and talk at one point.
Exactly. Probably like 6 hours, 5 hours, something like that. Yeah. Wonderful.
I think the first step is always the hardest. After that, it flows. But getting out of that sort of stuck situation or that situation that we think we cannot get out, I think, that's always the hardest part, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Great. Good. That's wonderful. Hey, we have one more. Margie, would you like to ask a question or make a comment? Margie in the woods.
It's Margie.
Yep. Margie. We met, I think, a couple months ago.
Yeah, right. I found you at one of the vegan fests in Florida because I was in North Florida in my van.
Right.
Looking for land. And then I have come now to Texas, just arrived at one of their beautiful state parks. And so I'm just on this journey, checking it all out and so much looking for what you talk about, Chantal. So just really appreciate it. And my question really is, may I visit you in the next couple of weeks? Because I'm headed back to Vermont, but I'm a farmer from there looking for, you know, a place to grow food more year round. So, you know, I'll be in touch with you.
Of course. We have an RV hookup and no problem.
Okay. And then Madeline and Will, just seeing your land on the video, just so enchanting and inspiring. So both these visuals, Chantal's today and Will and Madeline's, just so thank you so much, because that's where I'm hoping to be. So, yeah.
Great. Thanks. All right. Gathering of the tribe here.
Really, big time.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks, Margie. And thanks, everyone. Thank you, Chantal. I don't want to keep you too long. This has been really an interesting little glimpse into your magical kingdom there, queendom. And I'm sure there's a lots of wildlife and deer and other creatures in the area, which is nice. And armadillos and probably some alligators, I imagine. And
we haven't seen an alligator yet, but
you haven't seen one yet?
Yeah.
No.
There's not that many like there used to be. When we used to go to Florida, we used to see so many, and we don't see that many anymore. I don't know. They don't seem to be that many. But
Coyotes.
Oh, good. We love coyotes. Yeah,
like full moon here is really spectacular.
Oh, is that right? The coyotes celebrate?
It's a shamanic experience.
Wow. Coyote tribe too. Yeah, that's neat. Great. Okay. Well, if there aren't any other final questions, I want to just thank you so much, Chantal, for making the journey.
Well, thank you, Madeline. Thank you for your kitchen, kitchen tutorials. I'm always so excited when it's like,
right.
Nice to see you and to get to know you.
Yeah. You can talk in Svitadooch together. So.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we'll take care. Susa Troy May.
Yeah.
Cheers. All right. Great. So, thank you very much. That was really very interesting. So, yeah, I do think that, of course, the most important thing is that we live as best we can a life of compassion and kindness and vegan advocacy, and there's all kinds of different ways of doing it. And it seems like our culture is going through major shifts of all kinds, and all the indicators that I'm seeing are that there definitely will be challenges to getting a lot of the basic necessities in the next 6 months or a year or two. I mean, it's probably a good idea to get as much prepared as you can with a good stockpile of food and other things, and also grow your own food and get as independent of the mainstream sources of energy and information and authority and all that as possible. Huge changes, I think, are coming. It's like we're born right here at this time where the herding culture and all its toxicity and stupidity is actually maturing to the point where like we've been talking about, you know, we're becoming the livestock in many ways. And there's all kinds of things happening. I just read today, a little while ago, that the United States just sunk a Russian ship, which is like Pearl Harbor the other way around. And who knows? But anyway, it's good to be in a place, I think. The most important thing is to be in the inner place, you know, in consciousness. That's the most important, that we take with us wherever we go. But I'd like to go ahead and it looks like Lisa has a comment or a question. Yes. You need to unmute.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Thank you. I think I'm not the only one have hands raised, but I'd like to ask a question. Chantal, thank you for the beautiful story and sharing. And actually, I think it's somehow the timing is somehow so synchronicity, but that your husband lost his job doing the air controller, and I happen to be aware of this pilot having a heart attack earlier this year, this month, and I watched this video talking about how this is very common in the whole aviation industry right now, with the pilots having heart attacks and dying, and the stewardess also dying and having issues, but the mainstream media doesn't talk about it at all. And I share it with one of my community, and I was banned from it right away because I'm sharing misinformation. Yeah. And here I you know, one of my really good friend is going on a plane flight to Germany on Sunday. I'm really concerned. I wanted to hear if, you know, from someone already in the industry and actually lost a job, because I'm so glad he didn't you know, give in like the others. Can Chantal say, you know, something or something, just so that I know this is not, it is real, it's not misinformation.
I heard the same story as you, and actually Martin should maybe talk more about it, because he's sort of member of a group. They are called Free to Fly. These are like all, yeah, they're reunited. These are all people in the airline, like in the air traffic industry, that were, you know, laid off or put on unpaid leave. But yeah, we do hear a lot of things, and obviously I think it's American Airlines who has a staffing problem. And, of course, you will not hear the real reasons why it's happening. But, it's hard getting, you don't know which information is the right information and which one is not the right information. And it's hard now. I mean, Martin cannot give you any firsthand information because he's not in the tower right now. So he doesn't like, hear things firsthand. So he doesn't know. He only knows through this association, actually, things. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're hearing it and we're seeing it. We've seen, you know, some cases in our family also. So, it is not surprising. And then because it's some sort of blood clotting, issue. And then with the altitude, of course, it will create problems. But, yeah. I cannot tell you more, but, if you want to connect with Martin, you just write an email to me. I don't know if he can tell you more, but, if you, listen to the podcast of Free to Fly, you'll be, informed also.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Santos. Thank you. Yeah. The video I saw was the gentleman being interviewed is the co-founder of Freedom Flyers, the organization. So, I'm just really concerned for my friends, getting on the plane, knowing this, that all the employees and the airlines must be vaccinated, so there's no chance that there's not a unvaccinated pilot. I mean, here there's 200 people's lives on their hands, even though there's two, three pilots, backup pilots there, but still, the fact that they're all vaccinated, it's just very concerning.
Right. Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I just watched the interview earlier today of the pilot who had a heart attack like 5 minutes after he'd landed and was unconscious. He just went completely unconscious and ended up in the hospital. And he was just saying how he's so angry that the airline forced him to be vaccinated because it's destroyed his career and he wanted to teach his daughter to fly. And now he's not even allowed to fly at all. And this vaccine, caused him to have a heart attack. He had perfect health. He had no heart problems of anything, of any kind at all. He was a totally healthy guy. So, it's coming out, I think, more and more that this is an insanity, really, what's happening. And it's not just insanity. It's a malicious war against humanity. And, it's really important for us to see. I mean, it's like, herding cows is a malicious war against cows, actually. We don't need to be killing and stabbing and eating these animals. It's a malicious war against them. It's unnecessary. And the same thing's happening to humans. If, as we sow, so shall we reap. So it's important, I think, to just be savvy during these times, like you're saying, and build an alternative, right? Build an alternative world based on compassion and justice and freedom and sustainability, and don't believe anything from the mainstream media unless you really know it's true, because it's probably not. And of course, the main thing is they do is they just ignore. They ignore so much. That's a real problem.
One more comment.
Uh-huh.
Also, the lockdown in Shanghai in China. And I don't know if you saw that video where at night in Shanghai,
See
the several apartment buildings, everybody's yelling at the same time. That really somehow the picture of the animals yelling out of their cages.
Right.
And this is like the human and caged in their own home and being caged and yelling for help. It's like totally so graphically, like, this is what we do to the animals. Now here
yeah.
we are.
No, it's true. It's really true. It reminded me, I said the same thing to Madeline. I said, when they first put a whole, they do it in these, when they have chickens in these battery cages, they bring a bunch in all at the same time. And in the beginning, they're screaming hysterically because they can't stand it. It's so terrible. And that's kind of the stage in Shanghai. They're all screaming hysterically. They can't stand it. Let us out of here. But then after a while, it gets really quiet because they either die or they're so depressed they can't even say anything. They just sit there. And, you know, we have to see, this is, you know, this, again, as we sow, we reap. We have these high-rise cages and people can't get out and they're being, in many ways, factory farmed. I mean, we have to understand that. It's a system that's not in our, does not have our interest at heart. We have to, really, look carefully at what's happening and then decide, you know, how we want to respond. That's the key. And I think, again, the main response is internal. It's not such a good idea to get afraid or to blame people, but to just see this is the situation. What's a healthy response for me in my life right now? How do we respond to this in a healthy way? And, I think we can't really rely on the mainstream media. We have to rely on people we can trust and on our own inner guidance system. And Madeline's right next to me here. You may have noticed, and she was going to say a little bit about our gardening thing here. So.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much, Chantal. I was looking forward the whole day to seeing you on the screen. I was wondering, how does she look out of Basel? So you're looking great, and I'm sure your place is beautiful, and we're looking forward to visiting. So thank you so much. And according to the situation nowadays, it's not to be afraid, but to act. And today we actually just did some wood chipping. We spread in our garden. We do this every spring. We cover it with a nice layer of fresh wood chips. And then it transforms over the year into black earth. It's really wonderful. I mean, the earth is so black. When we came here, it was all red, iron, lots of iron. And it didn't have one worm in there. And now we have all these worms and soldier flies and really benevolent, great creatures who help us to create good soil. And it's a joy watching our food forest growing. It's now a good 9 years old. It's in three parts we did it, and we started 10 years ago with one apple tree first, which I think a garden without an apple tree is not a garden, I always said. So we planted Anna apples. They tolerate any climate. It's really fantastic. So we have a couple of these and all the others you saw on the videos. If you didn't see the video yet, just go and look and get inspired. And if you don't have any, not one pot and 1 foot of garden, just take a jar and sprout. Facilitate with food growing. Just start right away and also learn bread baking. I have videos. I made a bread today, spelt and millet. And how do you like it, Will?
I already had 3 slices.
He couldn't wait. It really came out great and really beautiful. I don't know, Chantal, if you know Jacobus Brot. And it's like I always had that wonderful bread in Switzerland, in Basel, where my mother lived. She passed about 4 years ago. And this was the best bread I ever tasted. And now today, the first time I feel it's getting close to that Jakober bread. So stay tuned. You can do the same. Huh?
Are you revealing the recipe?
I have about 2 or 3 bread making videos, at least 2. And I will do another one with time. So I have really lots of great videos like pizza and zucchini strudel and Google Hop. You probably know that one.
Yes. Yeah. I think I've seen all your videos.
Yeah, Tiba Lavaya, which is the onion pie. So you can really do some simple and very healthy cooking. I put the weight on vegan, organic. Everything is always organic and whole food. It's very seldom that something gets into a meal which is not whole food. You know, it might once be a coconut cream or something, but it's whole food diet. And it's really fantastic. If one lives like this, I mean, there shouldn't be any problems. And so I leave you with all these ideas. So go and watch. And then watch also our musical adventures. We play every morning. We play piano and flute here, right, in this living room. And some of the videos are available to watch, and yoga and everything too. So I thank you for listening to me, and see you again later. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, sweetheart. Okay. Thanks, Madeline. So does anyone have any questions or comments about anything we've talked about or anything else in general? At the moment, we only have about 10 or 12 more minutes. So I'm happy to address any comments or questions about anything that's happened in the last month. You may have also, don't forget, we've got our World Peace Diet resources for for April 2022, and there's a lot on there. I mean, every month is a lot of stuff. We've got some new videos posted. We did a really nice one, actually. I mean, we had this fellow, Jeff Adams, recorded two of our lectures on the way back. One in, both of them were in North Carolina, and he put them up on YouTube. So, and we appreciate that. So we have some new videos of our lectures and then a bunch of other stuff from the Real Truth About Health Conference, if you want to check those out. But yes, go ahead, Andy, you have your hand up. So go ahead. Yeah.
Hi. I might have a couple of things. So I was on a phone call today with I can't remember who, it might have been Amazon or tech, about a tech thing or something like that. And while I was on the phone and I was driving and I'm dealing with all this construction, and again, we have so much construction everywhere all the time. So I was getting frustrated on the phone call, and I was explaining to the woman who, you know, works for Amazon. And I said, I'm so sorry. It's hard for me to concentrate. There's all this construction everywhere. They're literally redesigning our roads and our freeways. And she said, oh, yeah, they're doing that here, too. And I said, where do you live? She says, the Philippines. So it's like, you know, I'm thinking they definitely are. This is like a global thing, like redoing the roads. And I can't remember if I've asked this before or not, but, you know, what do we do when we don't have roads to use anymore, or no gas stations, or have people thought about that, or, you know, just, I guess I'm getting a little nervous. I know you say we have to go within and how we react to things, but I feel like, okay, so I'm still working here. I've got work in San Diego, but, you know, do I try to escape? Do I try to go to Florida? Because they're going to do this everywhere, right? I don't know, Just any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I have to say, I'm not really sure what the plan is with the redoing of all the roads. I have seen, they're doing, I think, especially in Southern California, like where you are, we don't see any of that here where we live at all, but we're in the country. So, but I think, you know, maybe, okay. In fact, I saw this one road in San Diego, it kind of made the news because they made two bike lanes, and there's only one car lane going one way. So cars are like directly like going into each other. Made it into one. I guess it was an engineering mistake or something. But it's hard to say. You can do research on Agenda 2030 and see sort of the plan that the World Economic Forum has to try to get people off the land and get them into smart cities where they won't own any cars. Nobody will own any cars. You'll maybe get to use an electric car, I guess. I don't know. It's a plan, these plans that they have. But to me, they're disturbing because it takes away the individual's sovereignty, which I think is critical. You know, we can't have a situation where we become more sustainable, whatever that is exactly, by taking away people's sovereignty, because that ultimately is just a prison system. You know, you have a sustainable prison, but ultimately it's just for the benefit of a few who are controlling that, and they're using, I think, a lot of these sort of green, so-called green initiatives that sort of looks good on the surface, but at a deeper level, I think it's they're Trojan horses. Just like animal agriculture is a Trojan horse. It looks like it's something they care about us. And then it's actually another turn of the chute going into the slaughterhouse. You know, you got to look beyond that, you know, and see what it is. So I would just, you know, if I were you, just keep your eye on it and try to understand it. Like I say, I don't have any experience with that really directly. But I've heard about it from you and a few other people that it's happening in certain places. Oh. They're redoing the roads so much. And I think there is a lot more construction going in of video surveillance cameras and that kind of stuff too. So, it's called a panopticon.
Can I
probably heard that word, panopticon, which is basically
No.
Well, it's just basically a prison set up where everyone can be viewed all the time. It's you're in a sort of a, you know, like everybody's in an aquarium where they can always be seen. You can't really escape from being watched constantly.
Wow.
And so that, again, I think that's what's being rolled out in China in many ways. There's a lot of video surveillance cameras everywhere there. And I know in England, when we were in England, I mean, there were video cameras everywhere. I couldn't believe it. And that was like, you know, 10 years ago. So this whole thing, you know, to me it's disturbing because, it reminds me of a factory farm. You know, they just watch it up. They want to make sure that everybody's doing the program. And so, like I say, it's the circle of liberation, right? If we want to be liberated, we have to liberate those who are enslaving. And so that's why I think it's so important for us to liberate animals. Otherwise, we're sowing the seeds of our own enslavement over and over and over again. And where is it going to lead? I think that's what we have to understand. You know, it's really critical for our whole society to go vegan and stop this enslavement mentality and domination and exploitation of the weak by the strong. Because that's what we see happening. And we see it happening, I think, more and more. Yeah. And it's also kind of a psyop happening at the same time, where people are being brainwashed by fear, imagery and, hate imagery and divisiveness, you know. So to, again, not give that power, to look beyond that, to do the inner work and to keep questioning the narratives. And, it's getting very real on that level. I think it's, this whole thing, we'll see where it goes. I mean, every month I think is a new adventure. You know, it's like, what's the next thing? You know, we had the Ukraine, whole thing, and now, suddenly, and then Shanghai, and now we have, the New York Times saying that the cases are growing very quickly. You know, it looks like we might have another variant on our hands here. We might have to start masking and locking down again. And so how do we respond? How do the people respond to that, right? I mean, are we going to keep doing whatever they say, just like we have no sovereignty at all, no rational faculties at all? We just trust the health authorities who are completely, unfortunately, in the grip of this hierarchical establishment. That's really the problem. I think most people think that doctors are making their own choices, but quite honestly, doctors, if they say anything against the established narrative, they will just lose their license. It's happened to Dr. Paul Thomas. I was just watching one of his videos in Oregon where he's had this practice for like 20 years where he had vaccinated and unvaccinated kids, and he notice that the unvaccinated kids had far fewer problems health-wise with asthma and obesity and all these different things. And so he published a study about that, just showing, you know, this is it. And they just took away his license immediately, you know, just for telling the truth, basically, just showing this. It was,
where can that be watched?
It's great. I think I might have put it on this week's, actually, it's in the resources for this month. I'm pretty sure it's on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me just check here.
That would be on your website or?
Yeah, there it is. It's right. It's in the resources. It's on the link. It's World Peace Diet. worldpeacemastery.com/conference. I think it's the one I send out every week. Here it is. It's right here. Dr. Paul Thomas. He does an amazing video. It's on page, 5 of the 6-page, April resources that I put together for everybody every month. Yeah, I just watched it and I put it on there. So yeah, it's a really good one.
Is that on your website or on an email to us?
It's on my website, but you'll never find it if you don't have the link because it's secret. Okay. It's only for us. It's not public. I don't want none of this is public.
Okay.
You got to go to the link, and I send it.
Okay.
It's in the World Peace Diet Facilitator group, on Facebook group every single month. I put it up there. I send it out an email to everybody. And
okay, so it would be on email. I'd receive it then.
Yeah, it's every week. It's the same. It never changes. I mean, it's the same.
Okay.
It's been the same link for 11 years. It's never changed. I mean, everybody should know that. I'll put it right now in the chat. Let's see. Because it's really, here it is. This is it. I'll just put it in the chat. And, it has the resources going all the way back to 2011. And you can watch them. We had John Robbins, all these other people. Okay, so that's the I just put it up, the link. Yeah, it's worldpeacemastery.com/circle/conference.html. That's the link. And
Thank you so much.
It's just for us. It's not for anybody else, actually. Okay, so we're getting late here. Lisa, you have one more thing?
One more question.
Yeah.
The Food Revolution Summit starting tomorrow, I understand that John Robin and Ocean Robin, they are not vegan, are they, Dr. Kyle?
No, they're not vegan. Saturday. I think it starts on the 23rd, the Food Revolution Summit. But they're pretty close to vegan. I really wish they were. But they really pitch this whole Food Revolution Summit and all their teachings to promoting what they call, an organic, sustainable, whole food, plant-based diet. But they're not vegans. It is somewhat, I guess, on some level disturbing, but they're close, and they push that the vegan message pretty strongly. I mean, they're in favor. I was just on a panel with Ocean, and he was really good. He kept saying how they talk about factory farming, how factory farming is so bad, and I'm saying, well, it's not just factory farming; it's any animal farming. You're exploiting and killing animals and abusing them, and so forth. But when people ask John Robbins, are you a vegan? He just says, it's none of your business what I eat. That's my private matter. and Ocean Robbins, in his new book, he comes right out and says, I'm not a vegan. So it's not any secret. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I just want to confirm, because I don't know, maybe things have changed.
Well, that's possible, but as far as I know, they haven't come out and said that they're vegan at all. So I haven't heard, so the last I heard, they weren't, but that's the basic thing, I think.
Yeah. Also, one more thing. I know, Toto, you might know a lot more what's going on with solar. Do you know anything about solar? Because I hear so many advertisements that the government is subsidizing installing solar panels on houses and giving people free money funds to do that. It's seemingly it's a good thing to promote solar using natural energy to fuel, to power our houses. But is there any agenda that's not so good behind that? Do you know?
That's a good question. I think, I don't trust the green energy agenda when it focuses on biomass, for example, which is basically burning forests down, burning trees to make energy, or like they're doing that. They're burning coconut oil, palm oil, to make energy. It's terrible. I mean, they're destroying habitat and killing animals and saying it's green. Or ethanol. Even ethanol is, you know, basically cutting down forests, growing corn, converting it into ethanol and putting it in gasoline. It's to me, it's insanity. It's really killing the earth. And wind generation, I think, is not a good idea. It's just a huge environmental disaster. And solar energy that's focused on like these gigantic solar farms, where they, you know, like you see in the desert in California and other places, they're terrible. But I think if people have individual rooftop solar, I think that's, you know, in many ways, I think that's very good. I mean, that's what we do. We feed energy into the grid most of, almost like 11 months out of the year. And I know they don't last forever, but solar panels should last 30 years. And I know it takes quartz, it takes aluminum, you know, it takes some materials, but it gives a lot of energy. I mean, we're living on our solar. It's only 12 panels and we don't use a lot of energy. So, you know, we try to just minimize the amount of energy that we use, and we get it all from the sun. And so I think it's a good thing. And they've been cutting back, and, you know, PG&E, the power company here in California, hates it. They hate that we're on solar, and they try to cheat everybody. I mean, it's a constant battle. So the big power companies, they don't want people being independent. They don't like it. So to me, that means it's probably a good thing because.
The government is funding it.
Well, they don't fund. I mean, as far as I know, they give some subsidies or some tax write. They give some tax write-offs, but it's not like, as far as I know. I mean, it's never been like as soon as Reagan got in office, he got rid of all of the government supporting it, and it never did come back very much. It came back a little bit, I think, under Obama. But it's not, as far as I know, you got to pretty much pay for it yourself. You maybe get a tax write-off, but you still pretty much pay for it yourself, I believe, unless it's some new thing. But I think, you know, at this point anyway, I think it's basically a
so that's the only thing that government is doing good.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they should try to promote things for the common good, and that's, you're right, it's gone the other way now, pretty much, unfortunately.
Captured
by corporations. But thanks, Lisa. All right, everyone. Well, we're kind of over our time. I want to thank Chantal for sharing about the new adventure there in community, vegan community, potentially in Florida. And if you have questions or anything, I'll go ahead and copy the relevant parts of the chat and put it into the email I send to everybody. I don't know if the emails I'm sending out to everybody are getting through. The spam filters are really tough nowadays. So please, you gotta be proactive. And when you find it in your spam folder, tell your Gmail or whoever it is, always put this in my inbox. That's what I have to do. Otherwise, you just won't get them. You know, we do our best. We send them out, but then after that, it's tough. So. No. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. I really appreciate all your efforts. There's so much more we could talk about, but we've gotten to the end of our time. But please do check out the resources. There's really a lot of amazing stuff that's been happening in the last month. We have our videos that we mentioned. This great new documentary, Milked, about the dairy industry in New Zealand, and we've experienced that directly. When I went to New Zealand, I was shocked what they're doing over there. And all these other articles, if you have time to check those out, that would be great. All right, so let's close with our our prayer. We can unmute, let everybody unmute if you'd like to anyway, and we'll say it together. And Madeline, you want to join? Yeah. Okay, so you know what it is. It begins with the word compassion. Let's say it together.
Compassion
encircles the earth. For all beings everywhere. Great. Again. Compassion circles the earth. For all beings everywhere. One more time. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Well, you all. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We'll be in touch. See you on the 19th of May and the first Thursday.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.